On March 14th, the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality delivered news long awaited in Ann Arbor, where the solvent 1,4-dioxane has contaminated its groundwater. The DEQ will soon lower the level of dioxane that is legally permissible in the state's drinking water from 85 down to 7.2 parts per billion. It's good news, but actually restoring Ann Arbor's aquifer to safe levels is still not part of the state's plan. Meanwhile, the technology and resources to clean up the dioxane do exist. In this installment of WEMU's The Green Room, Barbara Lucas explores the question, will the legally responsible party get rid of the pollution or continue to let the plume spread?
Gelman Life Sciences on Wagner Road stopped using dioxane 30 years ago. But despite efforts to contain it, the 850,000 pounds they dumped have been spreading throughout the groundwater. Now the plume covers about 3 square miles on Ann Arbor's west side. It's in some lakes and streams around here, too.
The sister lakes are just off to the northeast of us over there. We can see one of them.
That's Evan Pratt, Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner.
And it sure is a nice, quiet, serene setting, but maybe that's appropriate for a colorless, odorless contaminant that you really can't tell is there, because no one would know this is kind of ground zero.
He tells me Ann Arbor City water is safe, since it comes from Barton Pond. But because dioxane can't be removed by boiling or filtering at the tap, well water is at risk, and fears are it could reach Barton Pond someday.
We could maybe go to the Paul Corporation and take a look at all the fancy gizmos they have that suck the water out of the ground and treat it.
He says Paul is the company that bought out Gelman. And last year, a Canadian company called Danaher bought out Paul. Pratt's frustrated. He says 10 years ago, when Paul found it challenging to remove the dioxane to safe levels, the county circuit court judge let Paul drop the cleanup goal. They created a prohibition zone instead, an area where wells are prohibited and homes must be hooked up to city water.
The prohibition zone limit is violated? Well, let's just expand the prohibition zone. Water gets into, highly toxic water gets into a lot of wells, 300-400 wells. Well, let's put them on city water. I don't understand what does that mean for us long term.
Bob Wagner of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality says creating prohibition zones instead of cleaning up groundwater is not unusual in Michigan.
And since 1995, with thousands and thousands of cleanups that we work on, there have been 4,000 such prohibition zones, restriction zones, put in place to manage contamination to assure the public and the environment is protected from the risk. And that is what current law provides for.
Here's Washtenaw County Board of Commissioners Vice Chair Yusuf Rabi.
I'm trying to imagine somebody dumps a bunch of oil into the river. Is the plan to just leave the oil in there and to contain it? Or do you actually want to get the oil out? And why is this any different?
Wagner responds.
It isn't a plan. It is an outcome as a result of litigation.
To me, this is the same situation. We have pollutants underneath our feet moving towards water sources. It is inconceivable to me that we would allow a court ruling like that to just stop us in our tracks.
1,4-dioxane is being found in groundwater at dozens of sites across the country. The Environmental Protection Agency calls it a contaminant of emerging concern. They've not yet issued an MCL, or maximum contaminant level. But in response to new science, in 2010, the EPA issued a health advisory calling 1,4-dioxane a probable carcinogen. At that time, the EPA set the risk of one cancer death in a million at 0.35 parts per billion.
The city's mission to provide a safe, reliable supply of water to Tucson water customers.
How have other communities responded to the news that dioxane is more dangerous than once thought? In 2001, Tucson, Arizona found dioxane in their drinking water, but in concentrations less than 5 parts per billion, averaging just 3.33. By simply blending with clean water, they could have diluted it to even lower levels. But they wanted to get below the EPA's advisory of 0.35 parts per billion, far below Michigan's newly announced criteria of 7.2.
Came together to dedicate the new facility.
I call Chad Lapora, Tucson Water Program Superintendent. He tells me the state of Arizona doesn't even have a dioxane criteria law.
Why do you go to that level when you don't need to legally?
Because of the history, this utility in this city said that we'll never put ourselves in the position that we were in before.
He's referring to their prior groundwater contamination by the carcinogen TCE that resulted in a federal Superfund cleanup. Apparently, the experience made an impression. In less than 3 years after the EPA's dioxane warning, Tucson had built a plant that removes dioxane to less than 0.1 parts per billion.
When blending was no longer an option, the senior leadership at Tucson Water went to the mayor and council and said, we need to build this plant. And they signed off on it, and we built the plant.
Although the parties that created the pollution in Tucson are legally responsible, Tucson chose to use city money up front to get the plant built.
We are in the process of getting reimbursed for that $16 to $20 million, and in the future, and you know, it will be set up where we get reimbursed for operations and maintenance as well for that plant.
He says they made a decision to stay under the EPA's 0.35 one in a million risk of cancer deaths, even though it's not a law.
Irregardless of how you deliver water to customers, you know, we still have to meet water quality standards. And for us, we treat, and that's the biggest thing that I can tell you, is we treat that health advisory for 1,4-dioxane as if it were an MCL. And that's what we've done. We take it very seriously.
Meanwhile, in Michigan, the response to the EPA's 2010 health advisory has been different. Instead of cleaning up to a higher standard, Ann Arbor's prohibition zone, where wells are prohibited, was expanded, and the rate of cleanup was slowed in both 2011 and 2012. Here's Sumi Kalasapathy at the February 29th City Council work session.
What I have heard from MDEQ, I just feel hopeless. So I'm just looking for a solution outside MDEQ or the state. Is there any example you can think of, especially with dioxane, anywhere in the U.S. that has been better handled?
City Environmental Coordinator Matt Nod responds.
You know, I think there are examples of really successful cleanups. And there are ways, you know, if you have enough zeros at the end of the number to, you know, Paul's in the filtration business. It's their job to make water cleaner. You know, they could pump it and go back to using UV and, you know, treat it to a lower standard. You could even ideally treat it to non-detect, and you could use it as residential drinking water. That's not required under state law. It's very expensive, and, you know, so it's unlikely we're going to see that as a solution.
Neither state nor federal law is making Tucson remove their dioxane. They're proud of their plant. Last year, it won grand prize in a national contest. Its award-winning technology is supplied by a company called Trojan UV. Searching the TrojanUV.com website, I open a slideshow touting the treatment process used in Tucson. Where have I seen the name Trojan UV? Oh yeah, it was on the environmental page of Danaher.com. Turns out Danaher has owned Trojan UV since 2004. Danaher, the same $60 billion Canadian company that last year bought Paul Corporation. So while Danaher's subsidiary in Ann Arbor is letting its plume spread, its company in Tucson has proven it can remove dioxane to nearly non-detectable levels. Should Danaher be held to a greater level of accountability? Danaher has not responded to requests for comment. Barbara Lucas, 89.1 WEMU News.
The Green Room is a presentation of the WEMU News Department and is produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division. Learn more on this topic and visit the Green Room archives at WEMU.org. This is 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.